Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the 2023 Banquet of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. My name is Denise Avon. I am the first vice president of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. I will be your MC for tonight. We have lots of great programming, so sit back and relax. Dinner will be served at around 7:15. But before we even start to eat, we need to do a welcome and invocation, and that will be delivered by a longtime member of ours from the Chicago chapter, Eileen Trushke.
Welcome, everybody. Can you hear me? Yes. Good. Okay. Let's bow our heads, please. Lord, thank you for everybody being at this banquet, and for people that couldn't be here on Zoom and whatever, and our lost loved ones. We pray for the repose of their souls, of those we lost in the Federation this past year. We thank you for everybody that's here, and we pray for a safe trip home for everybody, including Kevin. Okay, and we're all those that are Catholic, you want to repeat with recite the our dinner thing, the thing we usually say, right? Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. And God's people said, amen. All right.
Thank you, Eileen. Now, I would like to hear from the door prize table. Can you all pull a couple of door prizes for me?
Yeah, we got you. So we have $125.
Now, I really do hope that has my name on it. I don't win anything, but it would be nice to win something sometimes, you know?
So we got Ed. Birmingham? Yes.
Ed Birmingham, are you in the room?
He's not here. He's not
here? Uh-oh. He's not here. Draw again.
Brown?
Who?
Alexander Brown.
Alexander Brown is probably gone, but let's check. He's gone.
Deborah Oates?
I don't think she's here. All right, draw another name.
Brian Sumner.
All right.
We have another one.
Yes, let's do another one. Maybe I can win something here. I don't know. Let me see.
So we have a tomato plant, a $20 Starbucks gift card.
I like this. I love Starbucks. Mm-hmm.
And some caramel kisses.
Okay, all right. Chocolate and caramel.
And some fidgets. Surprise with fidgets.
Okay. Sometimes I get a little nervous.
Crystal Smith.
Crystal, are you here? I believe she is here.
Is she here?
Raise your hand. So, as you all know, we have a great reputation in the state for advocating for the rights of blind people, and we had invited a special guest tonight to be with us, but unfortunately, he was not able to make it, but he did send along a little video, and we would like to hear from him. So, Marco, cue the video.
Hello, everyone. Governor J.B. Pritzker here. I'm thrilled to address you tonight and want all of you to know how much I value and celebrate your advocacy. This convention represents the largest gathering of its kind in the state, and it's an invaluable opportunity for learning, support, and connection. Your work spans from the protection of parental rights to web accessibility, to securing the right to a private and independently cast ballot, all of which are creating a more inclusive, accessible, and equitable state and nation. Your work makes it possible for the blind of Illinois to live with autonomy, reach their goals, and lift up their community. For all of you here, thank you for all that you do, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the convention.
All right. Thank you, Governor Pritzker. We appreciate you leaving that message and recognizing the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. So before we the staff here, the servers are bringing out our dinner. But before they as they do that, I did want to take time to introduce the head table to you. So as you are facing the podium, sitting to your right will be myself, followed by a wonderful lady, Miss Kathy Randall, who is the President Emeritus of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, who raises a lot of our money and does all of those things that, you know, help fund the programs of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. Next to her is one of our members, so she is in another state, but because she has a lifetime membership, we can still call her a member. President of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland is Ronza Offman. All right, and seated to, on the your left in the first seat past the podium, we're gonna skip over that this individual for right now. We'll talk about him later. But then next to this person is our fabulous president, Marilyn Green. She has put together a great agenda, and we have had a wonderful convention because of her efforts and her hard work and all of those who have worked with her. And then finally, to her right, is a student representative. He is the National Association of Blind Students representative, and he is president of the Minnesota Association of Blind Students, Joshua Alakani. So, lady, before we go any further, before we do anything else, door prize, people? Are you ready?
Yes, we are. We got a towel cake and some lotion and some Bath and Body liquid soap and $25 cash.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. It's Marco. Steve Hestalis.
Steve Hestalis! That befits a member who was one of our original founders of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois back in 1968. So, it's Steve.
We have another one.
Oh, you have another one.
Yes.
Ooh, the door prize people are ready tonight.
All right, so we have a kitchen herb garden with a mason jar. Like filled with tactile golf ball, yeah. I guess. Okay.
What was that? I'm sorry, we didn't understand. Could you repeat?
So we have a mason jar. And
uh-huh.
The top of the mason jar is green felt. On the side of the mason jar is some ribbons and bows. Inside the mason jar is golf tees, fidgets, little trinkets, just to ease your mind. Very tactile. And $25. Whoa. From the Illinois Association of the Blind Merchants. All right, let's get going. Michelle, F-I-O-C-C-H-I. Are you here, Michelle?
I'm not sure. I thought we only had one Michelle. It looks like Michelle. Oh, okay. She's the lady from the lighthouse, so she's not here. So draw again.
Robert Reidman.
Robert Whitman. M-A-N. Robert is, or Bob, as we like to call him. He has moved to Michigan, but he never fails to call into the Chicago chapter meetings and comes to convention, and he is just a regular fixture of the NFB of Illinois. So we have not lost Bob at all. So I'm going to step away from the microphone for about half hour while they serve our dinner. You guys have a wonderful meal, and I'll be back later.
This right here. These three. As we're waiting for dinner. Okay, we do have another door prize as we're waiting for our dinner. We have a $50 cash from the Illinois Association of...
Bell has joined the meeting.
And a mason jar with, oh, yummy peppermints and some flowers on top. Let's put the name. And Ariel's pulling this one.
Okay, so are we... After this, we won't pull anymore, so if you can tell me... Who it is?
It's who? It's Osman. Is he here?
Osman is in the room.
There you go.
Okay, so we.
Chair Faber has left the meeting.
For a little while, you guys enjoy your dinner.
Let's find the podium. All right, I think I found it. And Marco killed the music. Thank you. I have the ear pod in my ear because I'm Zoom hosting. All right, let me have your attention, please. Let me get your attention, please. Can I please get your attention? Maybe it helps if I lean towards the mic more, huh? So I have the privilege of presenting an award tonight, and I'm going to let you do a little bit of guessing. We're going to present the Gwendolyn Williams Award. Gwendolyn Williams Award is an award that we don't give out every year. We give it out when we have a recipient that is worthy. This award tends to go to people who are part of our movement. And I want to just tell you a little bit about tonight's recipient. So this person resides in Chicago, is a reader, reads, likes to read. This person has served as a chapter president. Is in fact a Braille reader. She went to school in Missouri. Don't make me laugh here. This person just figured it out. So, and the response was God. So most of you figured out, but I will give you a little more clue if you haven't. This person serves on our national board and in fact serves on the Tambrook board now. And she has been a state president in Illinois. So all of you have figured out by now, including the recipient, that the award recipient tonight is Denise Avant. Oh, so I'm still laughing. She really did not expect this. So let me tell you that Denise embodies what it means to be a Federationist. For 30 years, She served as a public defender in the Cook County system. Now that's a tough job. It does show that she knows how to live the life she wants. Yeah. She currently, I think, is probably kept most busy by the work she does for us in the American Bar Association. So if you're unaware of that, ask her. It's pretty complex. She's presented resolutions before the General Assembly of the American Bar Association, which is pretty much like presenting to Congress. Now, she's a good friend of mine. She first attended a chapter meeting in 2005. Now, I'm going to read this award plaque to you, and then I'd like Denise to say something. So you have a minute to catch your breath. The award, the plaque says, and by the way, the plaque has to go back because there's a braille mistake. Okay. But it uses mentor, and it says M-E-N-T-O.
Oh,
so for braille readers, you know, it's one dot difference, but it makes a difference. National Federation of the Blind of Illinois presents the Gwendolyn S. Williams Service Award to Denise R. Avant. We, the members of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, recognize Denise R. Avant. Thanks to your love, attention, and your mentorship, you have shown the blind of Illinois how to live the lives we want. Awarded with sincerest love and gratitude at the annual banquet of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois this 14th day of October 2023, and it shows Marilyn Green,
yeah,
President, NFBI. Here is your plaque, my good friend.
Thank you. Oh my goodness.
And you have to say more than oh my god.
So let me just say, there are at least two people in this room who probably never thought that I would be standing here today. One of them might be Debbie Pittman, who has been a longtime member, and I remember her coming to meetings and trying to get me to join, but I really wasn't interested. Then the lady who's standing behind me that just got to speaking, who tried for well over 15 years to get me to join. And as I told the Oregon affiliate last weekend, finally in 2005, because just a number of things, I just kind of realized that blind people weren't respected, I decided that I should give the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois and our national office a chance. I came to a chapter meeting and have never looked back. I will say that one of the things that Maya Angelou said, and I don't have the quote exactly, but she said that she has learned that you should not go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. Yeah. Every once in a while, you need to throw something back. Yeah. So in these last 15 years, I've tried to throw something back by just being myself, being a role model to people, and saying thank you to the National Federation of the Blind for everything you fought for so that I could go to college as a blind black woman, so I could travel through the streets of Chicago on public transportation using the white cane, and so I could take an airplane and not be bothered by the airlines, at least not very much, but just so that I could live the life I want. You all, I am so filled with gratitude for this award. Marilyn, I don't know what to say. You didn't even let on that you were going to. But I know Marilyn. So I know how she is. Thank you all so very much. I'm sorry. I think it was Debbie was saying something, but she'll tell me later. Patty. Okay. So now you've heard during this convention. Oh, well, let me get a door prize because, yes.
All right. Door prize. What do we have here? I have a gummy candy lab. I heard we all like candy, so we have a gummy candy lab. I have $20 cash, cold-hearted cash. Cash is good.
Cash is always good.
Yep, and then I have a mason jar with peppermints in it, and the top is decorated with some pine cones, some pines, berries, and wrapped up in a burlap bow. So Abu is pulling her name. What do we got here, girlie?
Debbie Stein.
Oh, Debbie Stein!
Well, I guess I'll live vicariously through her. She is my roommate this weekend.
Nice.
So earlier we talked all about the programs of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, our scholarship program. Soon you will meet our finalists that we have. We talked about our Braille Enrichment Literacy and Learning Academies that we have in person and at home. But in order to fund those programs, we have to dig in our pockets and help the affiliate support those programs financially. And one of the greatest women that I've ever known, who stands and does a lot of our fundraising, is here tonight. And actually, because of her, she's one of the reasons why I became a president of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. She's always saying how she is living her dream because she has seen a number of us after she became president also fill this role. So I bring to you with 15 for Funds, Kathy Randall. Yeah.
Kathy Randall's cane intact.
There you go. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're not on the mic.
Please. I'm not on the mic. Okay.
There you go.
We have Kathy Randall's cane intact, you guys. So, I love all of you so much. It's just so wonderful. Thank you all so much. So, Michael told me earlier today that we have raised approximately $2,000 of the money we need to raise to do our 15 for funds. So we have approximately $2,000, guys, of what we need to raise. Now, what do I always say? Raise $500, raise $1,000, raise money for the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, put money in your will. I always say that. You guys are getting sick and tired of hearing it, but oh well, so what? Put money in your will for the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. Please, please, please. I will. I'm so excited. I don't want to be dead, but No, Kevin. I'm not dead, Kevin.
I thought you were.
No, no, I'm alive. This is a bad joke, but I'm not dead. I want to raise money for the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, and I want you guys to all put the NFB of Illinois in your will, and don't put it off. Don't put it off any longer, because Randall's running out of time. And please, don't put it off. Randall is running out of time. So
Kathy,
we have
can I help you by reading those donations that we already have?
Please, Patty. Would you
all right.
Please?
So I want to tell you guys a little bit about the history. So we were dithering one convention in Illinois and wringing our hands. We don't know how to raise funds. What are we supposed to do? And Dr. Jernigan was here and he said, watch me. And he took 15 minutes. This is why it's called 15 for funds.
Yes.
He took 15 minutes and he took pledges and in-hand gifts. So that's what we're going to do. But we have taken this to the modern age, meaning that we also have a donation line when you register. So some of us have already pledged or given. And I'm going to share with you Kathy Randall and Bob Randall. So Kathy does what she preaches. Kathy and Bob already gave 500. I do what I preach, and Francisco and I have already done 500. David Meyer already gave 200. Michael Novitsky, 200. We have Pam Gilmore already gave as well, 100. Glenn Moore already gave 100. An anonymous donor already gave 350. So we're already at $1,950. So what we're going to ask people to do is to call out. Kathy will start at higher amounts. People call out your pledge and your name, and Kathy will repeat them because I have to track it. So please call it out and let Kathy repeat it. And that's how this works. And we're going to raise at least several more $1,000. Because we can't do Bell, we can't do scholarships, we can't do anything that we do without some
without
kind of
all
money.
All of you. We need all of you, don't we, Patty?
We do.
We need them.
We do.
We need all of you guys out there. We love you guys so much.
So, Avant.
Avant.
So, first of all, from the Chicago chapter, we have already sent $1,000, 15 for fun.
Whoa, awesome. Patty, $1,000, 15 for funds from the Chicago chapter.
Okay, and then from Denise Avant, I pledge $500.
Wow. Yeah, $500 from Denise Avant. Okay, Patty, are we okay now?
Yep, keep going.
Okay, keep going. All right. Keep going, people. I want your money. I want you to put the NFB of Illinois in your wills, like I have, and Patty has, and other people have, and please, please, please do this. This is most important. David Meyer.
The at-large chapter of our state has donated
$500. The at-large chapter has donated $500. Thank you, David Meyer. Patty, okay?
Yep.
Okay. David, thank you so much. I love our chapter. Yay, I'm part of the at-large chapter, you guys. I love it. This is awesome. More money, guys. Come on. Dick and Debbie Stein, $500. Thanks, Debbie, so much.
Pledger in hand.
Dick and Debbie Stein, $500.
Debbie, okay. Is that pledge or in hand?
Pledge, okay. All right, other people. Money, people, money. Olson's. $100 check from Pat Olson.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat, very, very much. Okay.
Now that was
100.
Pardon me?
Check
from Kevin.
That was Pat Olson.
No, it's Pat Olson, $100 check from Pat Olson, okay? Thank you. Well, I'm trying to repeat that, but okay. Pardon me?
Philip Shaw.
Philip Shaw. How much?
$150
from Philip Chow?
Yeah.
Sorry,
Dilip,
sir.
Dilip Shah, $150. Is that pledge or in hand, Dilip? Awesome.
Check. Thank you so much. It's a check. Thank you so much. I'd love to meet you after the convention's over, okay? All right. Yay. All right, we're making progress, guys.
Marilyn Green.
$250 pledge from the state president. Yay. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you, Marilyn. $250 pledge from the Marilyn Green, our state president.
Mary Grunwald.
Mary Grunwald.
$200 pledge.
$200
pledge.
Hey, Mary. Patty, are you keeping up with me?
I'm with you.
$200.
Keep
okay.
going.
Okay. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Patty, and thank you so much, Mary Grunwald. Pam Provost. $300 from Pam Provost. Thank you, Pam.
I'm sorry, Pam, is that pledge or in hand?
Got it.
Pledge, okay. Pledge in hand. Okay, pledge. Pledge. Steve Hostalis. Check for $200. Steve needs some help writing that check. Somebody help Steve, okay?
That's not a problem.
No problem. Steve, no problem. We'll get you some help. Thank you. Okay. Love you guys all so much. This is awesome. Pardon? Anybody else? Go forward. Let's go. Pardon me?
Moti
Kona,
$100.
Murphy Conda. Thank you, Murphy.
Murphy, is that in hand or pledge?
Pledge.
Thanks.
Pledge. Okay.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Awesome.
Thank you very much, Murphy Conda. Pledge of $100. Those pledges are most important, you guys. We need those. And other people, please come forward. John Holtzgraf, John, $97. John, thank you, scholarship winner.
So, Kathy, I have two questions for John. Number one, is that pledge or in hand, and why
John.
97?
He's got up to $100, Patty.
Who's running around and collecting this? Michael, are you going getting people's checks and money? Okay, thank you, Pat.
Pat's going around getting Sean. Thank you so much. And your sister, thank you so much for the $3 to make sure we had this $100 in total, okay?
I missed the $3. What's that?
So did I.
Oh, Dustin, I love you.
We appreciate the $3, whoever gave that. I got lost somewhere. The $3, okay. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it very, very, very much. Other pledges, other gifts. From Dustin? Dustin Cather. Dustin, tell me again. $30 from Dustin.
$33.
Patty, Dustin's giving us $33. Whoa. Thank you, Dustin. We're very appreciative. $26 from somebody. It's hard to hear you guys out here. $26 from who? Charlie Wilson. Miller, sorry, Charlie. Charlie Miller. Charlie, you said $26? Oh, crap. Pardon me?
40 and 10. Or Linda.
Thank you, Ponch. Linda Hendel, $40 in cash. Thanks, Linda. Ellen. Ellen, $50 pledge, Patty. Do you have it?
Got it.
Okay. Ronza Othman.
$200, I just sent it
via Zelle. Thank you, Ronza. Thank you, Ronza.
Marco Giannetti?
Marco Giannetti.
$200.
Pardon me?
And that's a pledge. I'll send it via Zelle.
I'm sorry. Marco, say it again.
I'll send it via Zelle.
What?
Repeat
the amount. $200 from Marco via Zelle, I think he said.
Yes.
Pledge, Marco, from Zelle.
Correct.
Thank you, Marco. Very much. Jamal Powell. $35 pledge from Jamal Powell. Ken Shad.
How much?
$75 from Ken Shad in hand. Thank you, Ken. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's hard to hear up here, you guys. Thank you, Eileen. $77 in loving memory of Roberta Glickman. I think, is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Loving memory of Roberta Glickman, yes. Thank you very much. Did you get that?
I see that Bill Reeve has his hand raised. Bill, can you text Marco your amount? Because I've taken down these amounts and can't get you unmuted.
Bill Reif, we love you. We want to know what you want to do here. Yeah. We miss you, Bill.
All right, we got 200, 100, got some more 50s, 25. Every little bit helps.
Always.
Helps us send kids to Bell.
Always.
Helps us do transition.
Yes, everything, everything.
Crystal,
$50 Zelle pledge, Patty. Crystal, $50 Zelle pledge. Yay. Thank you. Anonymous $50 already sent. Patty, I hope you have that.
I got it. Anonymous.
Okay, good. You have two? Okay.
Oh, wait, what's that?
All right, I got anonymous 50 already sent. Is that correct?
Yes, okay.
All right, then I missed what happened after that.
One of the Bell kids had a thought.
Did I hear one of the kids after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, she got it.
Now.
Bennett. Soriano.
Got it.
$100.
How much?
$100.
$100 from the Serranos. Thank you.
Wow. $100 from your family? Whoa, that's awesome. Thank you very much.
Is that a pledge or in hand?
In hand.
Thank you.
Wow. Awesome. Wow.
That kid is a great kid.
Please do. We need your pictures, family. Kiddo with a pledge of $100. That's pretty wonderful. Thank you very, very, very much. Other people, other pledges?
If the kids can do it, you can do
yes.
it.
Yes, right. Whoa.
Can you hear me? Bill and
all right, Bill, tell us.
And Roberta Reeve, Zelle, $200.
I have heard from Bill and Roberta through Marco. They are pledging $200.
Thank Thank you, Reeves. Thank you, Reeves. Now, who talked from out there in the audience? Alec Rodriguez, $100 through Zelle. Thank you, Alex and family. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wow. That's wonderful. Alex, I would have given anything if we'd had Bell when I was a kid. You know, geez. Okay, other people. Any other pledges? Gifts, whatever. Anybody else? Any amount? Any amount? We're begging for money. Money, money, money. I think we might
going
be
going once. Anybody? Anybody going,
going once?
Once?
Going twice?
$100 pledge from whom? Ron.
$100 pledge from Iran went.
I still missed the name. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Iran went.
Iran. I got it. Iran. Thank you. $100 pledge. Awesome. Thank you.
Very, very much. Thank you so much. Yay. Awesome. Yay. Wow. We're doing well. Anybody else? Anybody else? The affiliate wants, needs, and will use carefully the money that you give us.
Hey, and we recycle our name tags. Yeah. We're careful. Anybody else? Go on once.
Yeah. Okay.
Anybody else? Going twice?
Kathy Randall will go back to her chair and be
all right,
quiet.
I will have a total for you, Denise. Give me 2 minutes.
Okay, we'll do
thank it. You,
thank
Patty.
You,
Patty.
So
thank
much.
You all so much. Kathy, thank you so much. You've done a fabulous job as always. And this is a woman who loves to ask for money. Door prize table,
yes.
We'll call on you to give us the next couple of door prizes.
All righty. We have $25 cash. We have some snacks, some peanut butter filled pretzel nuggets, and assorted milk toffees. All right, this is going to be interesting. Who's the lucky winner?
Winner. Francisco Chang.
Francisco Chang. Woo!
All right, we have another door. $25
the best
cash.
Ever.
Guys are...
I'm going to donate the $25.
Francisco said he's going to donate the $25 to... 15 for funds.
All right. Thank you. Okay, another $25 door prize. We have some butter toffee popcorn. And Himalayan pink salt lentil chips and chocolate mint cookies. Let me tell you, all this stuff is gourmet. It's gourmet snacks.
Gourmet.
So just so everyone knows.
It's Amy Wilson.
Amy Wilson, she was here. I think she's still here. All right, Patty, are you ready for the total? Uh-oh, well, she's saying that Francisco is responsible for the delay, all because he decided to donate some more money. So, door prize people, are you ready with another door prize?
Oh, most definitely. I have an ice cream sandwich. It's just not any ice cream. Ice cream sandwich.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, bonus. Whoa. And a $25 Amazon gift card.
Kenilworth.
Nicholas.
I'm sure it ain't.
W-E-I-B-E-R. Is he in the house?
Nicholas Weinberg? What?
Weiber, Weiber.
What? Doesn't sound like he's in the house.
It does not sound like he's in the house.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, is he from American Eagle, maybe? Oh, he was part of it. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, he's not here, so draw again.
All right, so we have Reed, E-V-A-N-S. All right.
Okay, the Reed Evans, she's not here. Okay, let's pick this name and...
All right, so we have Kevin, W-O-R...
Worley! Yeah. Yep. All right. Kevin Worley, and you'll hear more about him in a minute. So, Patty, what's the total?
Do we have a drum roll? $7,208.
Oh! So we come now to the highlight of our banquet. And yesterday, I was teasing this gentleman and saying that his only friends were on Facebook. But really, he has friends all across the country. He is much loved. He started in Illinois, went to the School for the Blind here in Illinois, later moved on to Colorado. He's a successful businessman. He has been in the Federation, he tells me, for over 40 years. And so I bring to you tonight one of the nicest people I know, Mr. Kevin Worley of the National Federation of the Blind of Colorado.
Aww. Aww. There's always so much love around here. I love this so much, you guys. All right, so give me your attention a second. We're going to try this.
Clear. Button.
All right, hang on, y'all. Hang on.
The picture shows a close-up of the man's upper body. He is wearing a dark blue pinstripe suit with a white shirt and a tie. The tie has a detailed pattern with small, repeating shapes in a dark color. The man has a white beard and mustache. The background has a curtain with a light brown color.
There we go. That's Be My Eyes. Anybody wanted to know? If you want to know how old this guy is, usually it calls me elderly, which really is annoying because I am 67, but I consider myself late middle age since I am going to live to like 134. But it always calls me elderly. Now, I've been dating a young woman lately. She's, can I have your attention? She's 59, so, you know, I'm dating a younger woman now. But she definitely doesn't, like it when it says that she's elderly. Let me say this right now. So good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. This is, how much did we raise? 15, over 7 grand, is that what I heard? I'm like, we don't do that in Colorado, although our convention is in 2 weeks, so you have laid down the gauntlet, is what you've done. Now, the great thing about one of my banquet addresses, y'all are going to love this, really, is that they're short. Yay! I actually have the record, I believe I have the record for the shortest banquet address ever at a state convention banquet in the National Federation of the Blind. It was 8 minutes.
8 minutes.
8 minutes. We're not doing 8 minutes tonight, y'all. Settle down. So I was in Nebraska. Nebraska. They don't have a lot going on in Nebraska. So Saturday night in the fall in Nebraska. Now, what goes on Saturday night in the fall in Nebraska? Football. Thank you very much for participating. Football. It's the only thing. So the Cornhuskers are playing football on Saturday night. And that's when the NFB banquet is. Now, who's going to get more attention? Kevin Worley from Colorado or the Cornhuskers football game? All right. Asked and answered. So I'm thinking, well, you know, there's a lot of great leaders and wonderful Federation people here in Nebraska. So I'm going to go ahead and give a really beautiful, uplifting speech. And so I'm talking about our philosophy and our dreams for the future, talking a little about my story and some other folks' stories. But then I start hearing around the room, 25, 35. And I'm thinking, well, that's okay, I'll plow forward. Then I start hearing from the head table. These are the leaders. I start hearing, 25, 35. And I'm like, what the heck here? I can't, how am I going to get the message of the movement across to these Cornhusker fans? Finally, about 8 minutes, I thought, you know, if you can't win, just, you know, quit. I said, thank you very much. Let's go build the National Federation of the Blind. Go Huskers. And I sat down. I had enough. So that's the shortest speech, I think, of any member of the National. Well, you know, you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them, right? The old Kenny Rogers song. Tonight, I want to talk, if you don't mind, I was thinking about what I should speak about. I have a couple. I think I've done over 100 state conventions. I was thinking about it the other day, over 100. And I have a number of speeches, you know, you can roll out, you know, pull out of your briefcase and set it down here and start reading, you know. And I thought today, I thought I wouldn't read anything. I got to thinking about my dad. Now, my dad was a sighted guy. So you think, well, why are you going to tell a story about your dad? Well, for one thing, my dad was a great American. And we have Veterans Day coming up, and we have a lot of folks who are blind veterans, and we have folks, and I was talking to a young lady at the bar who had served in the military, and there, and her son is in the Bell program, and her son and her husband, her husband and she both were in the military at Fort Bliss and other places. And so I could identify that as an Army brat. I was an Army brat. My dad was a sergeant in the military. And I thought, why don't I talk about my dad? My dad was a great guy. He died in 2011. What does that have to do with blindness? You know, the thing about it is, whether you go blind later in life or have low vision in the middle of your life or blind or low vision early in your life, we all have our stories. And we all have the stories about how we're impacted by our families. We often talk about the low expectations. In my view, it's not just the low expectations that mess us up, it's the mixed expectations and the mixed messages we get. My father was a great man. Was adopted from an orphanage when he was 4 in South Bend, Indiana. There were 8 kids, as far as we know. But the family that adopted him, the Worleys, they couldn't take 8 kids. This is in the early 1930s. They couldn't take 8 kids. They could take 2. In those days, things were different. We're in the middle of the Depression. We don't quite know if they were going north from Arkansas, we think Arkansas, from the best we can tell, to work in the plants, or if they were going toward Oklahoma. We just don't know for sure. But we do know that there were 8 kids, and this family, for whatever reason, we don't know the circumstances, could not care for 8 children. And so they dropped these children in an orphanage in South Bend, Indiana. And thanks to my grandma and grandpa Worley, dad and his sister, Shirley. How'd you like to go around being Shirley Worley? At any rate, she was Shirley Worley and my dad. They were adopted out of that orphanage. So my dad comes from very humble Americana roots in the 1930s in the Depression. So here we are in 1956. My dad's 20. He graduates from high school. He marries my mother. They met at a Christian Bible school in Indiana. Mom was from Illinois. Dad was from Indiana. And his family was from there. And they met at a Christian Bible school, and so they got married, and dad, of course, joined the Army. I say of course because in those days, if you needed an opportunity and you're poor, Army was one of the ways that you could get opportunity. And at that time in the late 50s, there was no war. Korea was over. Vietnam was in its very, very, very nascent stages. Nobody even knew where Indochina was at that in 1956. So they get transferred to Germany. And so my dad, this private in the armies in Germany, and mom gets pregnant with me. So they, remember now, this is 1956, so we're only talking about 12 years, 11 years after World War II. Germany and Europe are still in recovery. There's still bombed out buildings. There's still destruction. There's still the Marshall Plan in effect, for those of you who read history. And so we're in this little army hospital in Bad Kreuznach, Germany. I don't even know how to spell it. You know what happens when they want me to spell my where I make up a different spelling every time? I don't really care. What does it say on your birth? I don't know. It's either C-R-E-U or K-R-U-E. I don't know. And it hasn't really bothered me the 57 years, 67 years. So my mom's pregnant, this private PFC, probably E4 by this time, doesn't. You know, they don't know. They're green, as my parents would say, from rural Midwest small town, very small town, Christian conservative background, salt of the earth people. And my mother has trouble with her birth, with her delivery. My poor mother was 18 hours delivering me, 18. And finally, I think the inexperienced Army doctors in 1956, this isn't today's medical corps, it's not a MASH unit for crying out loud, but it's probably not far off of a MASH unit. Finally, they don't know what to do, so I'm delivered with forceps and my head's crushed. My dad would tell me later, it really looked as though they didn't think I was gonna live. They thought, my dad said, you know, son, your head looked like somebody had taken a baseball bat to you. That's how bad it was. And yet I'm still here. So my parents, of course, they never had even known of a blind person. They didn't know blind people. And they didn't even think about that. They thought of other things, you know, was I gonna be brain damaged? Was I gonna have other delays, other physical issues? And I was delayed. They finally noticed after a long time, maybe 15 months, that my eyes had very little movement and that I was not light reactive. And so when they got back to the United States, my grandparents said, let's take Kevin to the famed Mayo Clinic. I have to thank the Mayo Clinic because they took me to the Mayo Clinic. My grandpa, I still have some really early memories of my grandma and grandpa driving me in a Studebaker to Mayo Clinic. I think I was 18 months, but I still have some very early kind of little memories of some of those things, just, you know, nothing really substantial. But the great doctors at the Mayo Clinic were smarter than a lot of the docs today, because what they said to my parents after looking at my eyes is that all we think is that he's going to be blind. We don't think he's going to have brain damage. We don't think he's going to, but we do, he's going to be blind and he's going to be totally blind. Quit searching for a cure. Get him a good education. They said, so I can tell you that they said that because 50 years later, I went to Mayo Clinic. My health was a little down, and they have these things at Mayo Clinic, if you can afford it, called the Business Executive Program. And you can go when you're 50, 55, 60, whatever, and you can pay a ton of money, and they'll do a whole workup on you. And I did that. I was struggling a little bit. And so I was there for 4 days, and they were doing all these tests. And they said, have you ever been to the Mayo Clinic before? I said, well, not really. I said, when I was two. Wait, when you were two? I mean, but that was 50 years ago. Now this is Phoenix, Arizona Mayo Clinic. The one I went to was in Rochester, Minnesota, the original one. 15 minutes later, this is how great they are. They come back and said, yeah, we got your records from when you were 2 years old. I couldn't believe, I was like, what? Which means that they had to take it from paper to microfiche, to microfilm, to compute, whatever it is they did, they thought it was necessary. They are so good and organized and they love their data that they had that record. And they had a letter from them to my father's commanding officer that said, Sergeant Worley, I guess he made sergeant by that time. It's pretty good, Dad. A letter to the colonel that said, your son is blind. He's going to be totally blind. Please do what you can, sir, to station Sergeant Worley at a place where they will have schools for the blind if possible, because he's going to be blind and he needs an education. He doesn't need medical attention, which, again, you know, doctors and theologians like to try to heal us, you know, you know, but they said, no, he's going to be blind. And my dad and mom, bless their hearts, they, you know, they never, this was overwhelming to them. And I would like to say that they set high expectations for me all the time, and they got that sort of take that hill attitude that my dad had as a sergeant in the Army, and that had attitude from Mayo Clinic, and everything was copacetic and piece of cake. And yet, as I said earlier, it's not just the low expectations, it's the mixed expectations and mixed messages. My dad loved me and wanted me to succeed just like he did. And I can prove it. When I was 5 years old, we were stationed back in Frankfurt, Germany, and we were on the fourth floor of these army block houses, these big post-World War II buildings that were built for armies, the army soldiers and their families. And we were on the fourth floor, the higher ranks were on the first and second and third floor. We were on the fourth floor. I don't know what Dad did, but we were on the fourth floor. And I'm 5 or 6. My dad said, here, son, take out the trash. I remember, I have a vivid memory of this. And it's a paper bag, it's full. There's tin cans in the bag and all kinds of other stuff. I'm walking down, you know, 5, 6 years old. We don't pay that much attention. And I'm sure I know I dropped some tin cans. Ding. I didn't think much about it. I'm like, eh, whatever. Go down, throw it in the dumpster, come back upstairs. And a few minutes later, on the floor, some high-ranking sir, major, whatever, came and said, Sergeant Worley, I remember this. I was there. I remember this. I knew I was in big trouble. Sergeant Worley, we understand you're letting your son take down the trash. My dad said, yes, sir. He's got to take down the trash. Well, he dropped some tin cans down there. We don't want you to let him take trash out ever anymore. And my dad, and I clearly remember this, I felt such a deep pride. My dad said, well, he's got to learn to take out the trash like every other kid. And if he drops a tin can down there, he'll go find it and pick it up. Because that's the way we live. That's my dad's take that hill attitude. That's the way he was. So I had to go down and find the can and whatever. So my dad had these high expectations, right? A year later, I was learning to ride a bicycle. And I could see just a teeny bit. What do you call it, Mary? Your recreation vision, exactly. Your recreation. So I had a teeny, teeny, teeny bit of vision. And I could follow the fence with my eye, my one good eye. And I could lean down and kind of see the fence. And Dad would let me ride the bicycle out there. Well, one time I ran into a car, and of course, that was the same major. But my dad defended me. He defended me and said, look, he has to learn to do things. We're very sorry. I'm sure my dad paid whatever the scratch was or whatever. Again, high expectations, right? He expected me to do what everybody else did, right? So 11 years old, we're living in Fort Huachuca, Arizona. It's hot in the summer in Fort Huachuca. I don't know if anybody... probably not as hot as it is nowadays. But at any rate, my dad said to me and my brother, Paul, Paul's year and a half younger than me. He has a rafting company in Colorado, by the way, 1-800-WET-RAFT. Just throw that in there. In case anybody wants to go rafting in Colorado next summer. Not that I would exploit this opportunity, 1-800-WET-RAFT. Exactly. So we're out there pulling weeds in the backyards, talk about mixed expectations and mixed messaging. We're pulling weeds, me and my brother. He's a year and a half younger than me. Well, I'm an 11-year-old kid, kind of lazy. I got a lot of 11. It's hot. I mean, it gets hot out there and sweats in my eyes, and this is hard work. So I started kind of lingering, not really doing my bit. I mean, I am lazing off, man, and my brother's thinking, well, if Kevin, the older brother's lazing off, I'll laze off. And then I hear my dad, Paul Arthur Worley, what are you doing? Aren't you pulling those weeds? And my brother says, well, my brother's 9 at this time. Well, Kevin's not doing his share either. And I distinctly heard my dad, and I hear him today, he's blind. He's blind. He can't keep up with you like that. He's blind. Just get to work. And I'm thinking, well, my dad believed in me, right? He had high expectations for me. He thought that I could do everything everyone else could do. But now he's selling me short, my Sergeant Worley, my take that hill guy. And so it really disturbed me. See, that's what we deal with oftentimes. It's not just that their expectations are always low. It's just that they're so inconsistent. You don't know what society expects of you. On one hand, you're a hero for walking across a residential street when you're 12. On the other hand, you know, you can't join the Boy Scouts. Which is it? You know, am I a hero or a goat? Right? But my dad loved me, and my dad was a great guy. You know, my dad, the reason I talk about him is because he was my hero. This was one incident, but it buried itself in my psyche. There were many other incidents, both high expectation and low expectation. A year later, I went to the Arizona School for the Deaf and the Blind for a year. And I thought about that the other day because it was Indigenous Peoples Day, Columbus Day, Indigenous People Day. When I was at the Arizona School for the Blind at 12 years old, I hated that school so much. Hated. The Illinois school at that time, everybody has different experiences, but the Illinois Braille and Sight-Saving School, as they called it in those days, I don't think it ever saved anybody's sight as far as I know, but that's what they called it. So I was at the Illinois Braille and Sight-Saving School, but my dad got transferred, as I said, to Fort Huachuca, so I was at the Arizona School for the Deaf and Blind, and bless my dad, he knew how much I hated that school. He used to drive every weekend. I think it's 70 miles or so to Tucson. So that means he had to go one way to pick me up, one way to take me home, one way to take me back, and one way. This guy in 1968, you don't just get in the car and go whatever. He spent every weekend 150 miles or so because he knew how bad I hated that school. A good, wonderful man. But here's the deal why I thought about this the other day on Indigenous Peoples Day. You know, and this is not so much about blindness, but I suppose it is a little about intersectionality and the way we all need to work collectively to change the world. When I was at the Arizona School for the Blind, there were Hopi Indians and Apache Indians. They were not allowed to speak their languages. Even during the day after school, so understood, during the day when you're in school, you got to speak English. I get that. You have to do the reading, writing, and arithmetic. But after school, they were not allowed to speak their language. House parents would actually hit their knuckles with a ruler if they spoke their native languages. And that's why I get kind of emotional about some of these things. And it's not about blindness necessarily, but it's a side note that matters to me. And since I have the mic, I'm going to talk about what matters to me. So at any rate, my dad, since we're talking about him, Silver Star, Vietnam, 4 tours in Vietnam. When I think about those people who went to Afghanistan and Iraq for us, and I think about those who serve our country, I think about my dad, and I thought it'd be nice to share a little about my dad tonight. Never done that before. My dad would go to all my wrestling meets, no matter where he was. He would find some way to get to my wrestling meets. I remember my sophomore year of high school, I was wrestling in Indianapolis, Indiana. And again, remember, my dad's from the old South. Originally, his people came from Arkansas and Indiana. This is 1972. And I'm wrestling for the finals of a National Council of State Agencies for the Blind wrestling tournament at 132. And I was wrestling a black kid. And there was quite a bit of, I don't know how to explain it, but we sort of got caught up in this thing where there were folks who did not want the black kid to win. They actually put pressure on me as a 15-year-old to say, you've got to beat. There were two guys that came up to me and said, you got to beat this N-word. That's a fact. That's a truism. And my dad came up to me and said, you will wrestle your butt off to beat that black kid, and you're not going to let anybody stop you, and don't feel pressure. Whoever's winning is going to win, you know. And my dad, you know, he was a Southern, he could have had all kinds of prejudice. By the way, I lost bad. A kid kicked my butt, man. I was down, man. I think he pinned me in like 51 seconds. And actually, you know, I hated to lose, but on the other hand, I had this sort of nan-nan-nan-nan, black kid beat me. I mean, I really kind of felt that way. I walked away feeling, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, you white bigots. Anyway, I have the mic, so I'm saying what I want. But it all works together, really, in many ways. Discrimination and prejudice are discrimination and prejudice. That's just the way it is. And my dad knew that, even though he came from a very, very rural, oppressed background. And he challenged me, mostly, but not always. So it's those mixed messages that we have to kind of be careful, I think. How does this relate to the National Federation of the Blind? Well, the National Federation of the Blind impacted my life in many ways, the same way as Dad did, except the messages were positive, always upbeat, always empowering, always impactful. Late in my dad's life, he got involved in the National Federation of the Blind, very involved. He went the last 11 conventions before Dad passed away, he went to the National Convention. He fell in love with the National Federation of the Blind as a sighted father. And he began to recognize that some of the things that he and Mom did when they raised me were great, on target, right? Absolutely great. But he also began to recognize that some of the things they did, they wouldn't have done for the next child. And you know how I know they learned that? Is because my wife Bridget and I had an opportunity through the National Federation of the Blind to adopt a blind child. He was 11. He came to the United States for, some of you know Nijat, he's 34 now, but when he was 11, he came to the United States for eye surgery. The eye surgery didn't work, so he was going to be pretty much totally blind. He had a little bit of that, what is it, Mary? Recreational vision, there you go. He had a teeny bit of that, about as much as I had at that age, ironically. And I found out about him when I was doing the national representative work for President Maurer in New York, and Carl Jacobson, who some of you know, came up to me and said, Kevin, Carl Jacobson here, we have a blind kid we don't know what to do with. I'm like, well, okay, well, I mean, what do you want me to do about it? He said, well, they're gonna send him back. And so I went home to Bridget and said, by the way, I thought we might adopt a blind kid. And she said, wait, what? We're done with kids, we're done with kids. I said, well, I don't think we are. So we were able to talk to his parents from Azerbaijan. He was raised mostly in Armenian, refugee camp, and so we were able to adopt him. He's the apple of my eye. He's my buddy, and we raised him in what we call the boot camp for the blind. You know, he had to learn. We didn't have too many mixed messages and mixed expectations around our house. You did dishes like everybody else, you know, except for me. I remember one time we lost him. This is great. We lost him. He got upset with me one time, and he was probably 16 by this time, and he got upset with me about something. And I said, well, you can just get out of the car and walk then. And he had this big old 2-gallon thing of Pepsi ice, and it was about 28 degrees in Colorado. And he got out, and he got mad, and he slammed the door. I said, okay, fine, Bridget, let's go. And we went home. We just went home and left him out there. Well, then we thought, well, he's not been home. It's been like an hour. Maybe we should go. We couldn't find him. I mean, it was too late to send him back to Azerbaijan by then, so, you know, we had to deal with it. But David Maurer, who's Mark Maurer's son, was working for me at the time, and he went off and cruised around and actually found Nijat. Nijat was a wonderful kid to raise, and he always said, once he learned English a little bit, he said, I want to be lawyer. He would always say, I want to be lawyer. And about 3 years ago, he did graduate from Creighton Law School, so we're pretty proud of old, but yeah. Now, if it could just pass the bar, that would be good. But at least he's off my payroll. So I want to say just a couple of things about Dad with regard to that, because Dad learned his lesson. Dad really took Nijat under his wing and spent so much time mentoring, taking Nijat fishing and hunting, and showed him all kinds of things that Dad would never have shown me. My dad helped start, even though he's a sighted guy, non-blind guy, helped start the National Association of Blind Veterans, which is a going division of ours. We got a great division. In about 2005, they were starting the division, and Mom and Dad had started going to national conventions. They love national convention. I mean, who doesn't love national convention? Even the non-blind love national convention, right? So So they were trying to start this division, and Dad said, I'd like to give them a grant to get started. I said, a grant? What do you know about grants, Dad? We barely, we ate mayonnaise sandwiches when we were growing up. I don't think we're giving grants. But he gave them $1,000 to start the division. And I was always very, very, very proud of Dad for doing that. And it has been suggested, I think, and observed that visionaries are those who stand on the platforms of railroads that have not yet been built. I think about that when I think about Dr. Tenbrook, where we were in 1940, Dr. Jernigan, where we were in the 60s. And I think, how did they ever, with all the poverty that blind people faced, all the exclusion that blind people faced, how did they know that if they started working diligently, raising a dime here and a dime there, there was no 15 for funds where you could raise $7,000. Blind people had no money. How did they think that we could get to where we were today? Well, they couldn't have imagined AI and all those things, but they knew, and our founders knew, that with people like my dad, non-blind allies, and the people in this room, we would ultimately continue to grow an organized civil rights movement that would change the world for blind people and would change the world for others as well. Thanks for letting me share a little about my dad and my story. And I come to these conventions all the time. I say it's probably more than 100. And I don't tell us the same pat speech every time. So tonight I just wanted to share that a little bit with y'all. And I hope that's okay. Thank you all very much. Love you. Come on.
It had to be Kevin. All right, door prize table. Kevin, thank you for that wonderful speech. We enjoyed hearing those stories. He's right. It's our parents do everything they can. They love us and they protect us and they, give us everything that they can, but they don't always really have the faith that we can go out and live the lives that we want. So door prize table.
All right. So we have a $25 cash with a sweet and nutty snack, wavy corn chips, and cappuccino chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
And sorry, and buttery toffee popcorn. All right, Charlie Miller.
Okay. Charlie Miller. So I am going to call on Patty Chang and Debbie Kinstein to come to the podium because it is now time for the other highlight of our banquet, and that is our scholarship award. So Debbie and Patty, the microphone is yours. Okay, so Charlie is donating his money to 15 for funds. That might be why Patty's delayed getting to the microphone, because she's adding more money in. Oh, okay. Well, here's Debbie. Okay, here she is. Hang on. Nope, come around. Yep. Yeah, right here. I'm moving them.
Okay, now you have to pull. Okay. And while I am talking, if John Holtgreave and Charlie Miller would make your way up here to the podium. You're a very important part of this presentation. We need you up here. So this is one of my favorite parts of the convention. This is really the culmination of all the work of the NFB of Illinois Scholarship Committee, getting the application materials out, distributed,
contacting schools and agencies and interviewing applicants, and it's quite a process, and a lot of work, a lot of love goes into it. And we have the pleasure of presenting